Don't you love that story of the healing of blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10? Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight. Yep, love it. The power of God, the compassionate heart of God. Wouldn't it be great if total healing happened like that every time we prayed? Someone's sick, we pray, straight away, they're fully healed. But not even Jesus had that experience. In Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26, there's a story of the blind man at Bethsaida. He begs Jesus to touch him. Jesus spits on the man's eyes and lays hands on him, which is kind of an interesting approach. Does the man get full sight straight away? Nope. He's actually got blurred vision. And Jesus puts his hands on the man's eye again, and then he gets full sight. So why did Jesus need to repeat the laying on of his hands on the man's eyes? We're not told. Complexity. There's lots of complexities with sickness and with healing. So how will we respond to such complexities? How will you respond to such complexities? How will we respond if we pray for a loved one who is sick, if all of the church is praying for them and they die? I've had to grapple with this as a husband who lost a wife, a father who journeyed with major sickness in his youngest son, severely disabled, and as a pastor who's buried his sister, other extended family members, numerous dearly loved members of the church community, including in the last few years, a gorgeous two-year-old. The age in which we live is chock-a-block full of complexities. Complexities like the fact that the world has fallen, it's in decay, our bodies are in decay, the law of entropy marches on. Complexities like, on top of that fallenness of creation, Jesus describes the prince of this world, John 22, verse 31, Satan, as the one who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The healing evangelist Randy Clark, who the Lord has used so powerfully in bringing healing and miracles to literally thousands of people, has a sermon entitled The Thrill of Victory, The Agony of Defeat. And that sermon has been published as a small book. In my own life, I've felt the power of God surge through my body and flow through someone else's body that has been racked by disease. But it's not even now 2 years since my massively disabled son Brendan went home to glory in October 2018. And as I mentioned in an earlier message, the Lord had miraculously kept his severely damaged lungs going for 27 years, I mean, twice as long as the medical experts expected. But his last 36 days in palliative care were horrendous. So was God present? Absolutely. As I would hold Brendan's hand and pray over him, his body so disabled and now unable to handle any fluid at all, his body would still respond so obviously to the Spirit, to the Holy Spirit. But I can't deny that these were excruciating weeks. I had some full-on convos with the Lord. As I left the hospital late one night with a carer who had just arrived to sit with Brendan, because we had run out of energy to be there 24 hours a day, I laid my hand on Brendan's head and spontaneously I said to him as I left the room in a tone of voice that he so loved, Brendan, the next time I see you, we'll both be in glory or it'll be 6:30 a.m. in the morning. Brendan was home with Jesus at 6:22 a.m. the next morning. Those words that I spoke, they were not premeditated. They had been prompted by the Holy Spirit. So many complexities. Each of our paths will vary, but I'm certain there will be complexities in your mind when it comes to sickness and healing. For all of us as believers, for all of us trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be faced with this choice. Either we lower the word of God that is so clear that God is the healer, that he desires to heal, that he has provided for healing in the atonement, and he calls us to a ministry of healing. We either lower the word of God down to our experience with its collection of life disappointments, or we hold to the word of God and keep asking the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us and equip us in our calling as co-laborers with Yahweh Rapha. I have made a choice. I will hold to God's word. What choice have you made? Let me briefly outline three complexities. I wouldn't be surprised that you've got some other ones, but these three seem to come up often in conversation about sickness, disease, and healing. First one, the variability in healing. There is variability in how physical healing comes, and I mentioned this last week. It might be instantaneous, as we've seen in that gospel account in Mark 10. It may come gradually in stages as you pray. It might come actually over time. So the story in Luke chapter 17, 10 men with leprosy, and in verse 11 we read, as they went, they were cleansed. The healing may actually come after repeated times of ministry. We've seen that in the account of the blind man at Bethsaida in Mark 8. Or indeed, it may not come at all in this life. So, variability in healing. Secondly, what about sickness in the demonic realm? There is a connection between all sickness that can be traced back to sin and Satan. But not every disease, not every sickness is specifically caused by a particular sin or specifically by an assault by an ungodly spirit. So there's connection, but it's not always direct. We do see in the Gospels, actually quite often, a direct link between sickness and demonization. In the West, we tend to dismiss this, but the demonic interference with people is way more common than what we often think. In the New Testament, there is this consistent call to holiness. For example, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, quoting from Leviticus, "Be holy as I am holy." That is, this call to godliness, to holiness, is integral to becoming more like Jesus. But I think we can miss another aspect of this call to holiness. The godlier we are, the less access the enemy has to get a hold on us. So in Ephesians 4, verse 26, Paul speaks of not giving the enemy a foothold. I actually often think of that as suction caps. So don't give the enemy access. And generally, that will lead to much better health. But here's a complexity. Church history reveals many great men and women of God who really suffered with serious illness. The story of the crippled woman in Luke 13, verse 16, suggests that Satan causes some illnesses even in people who have done nothing wrong to invite his activity. The Apostle Peter says in Acts 10, verse 38, Jesus healed those oppressed by the devil. So don't miss this. When we seek people's physical welfare, whether that's through prayer, medicine, or other means, we are working for something that God cares about. Evils will not all be destroyed before Jesus returns. But in the meantime, we work against them, whether they harm people physically or spiritually. A third complexity, death and the so-called sickness unto death. Let me tell you briefly about a guy by the name of F.F. Bosworth. He was one of the great healers of the early 20th century. At the time of his death, he had been weakening, and as word of his imminent passing spread, many of his friends came to his bedside. Suddenly, he opened his eyes widely and exclaimed, "I see him," meaning Jesus. "I see them," meaning the great cloud of witnesses. "Glory to God. Don't weep for me. Hallelujah. I'm going home, brothers." And with that, he was in the Lord's presence. That's what you would call a glorious passing. So you have to hold two truths together, and it's not as if they're in opposition. God is the healing God, and he wants to heal. But also, everybody is going to die. Only two people have escaped death, ever. One of them was Enoch. It was said of him that he walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him. The other one who escaped death was the prophet Elijah. So we read in 2 Kings 2:11. As Elijah and Elisha continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Okay, so what happened to Elisha? A wonderful man of God, worker of miracles and prophet. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Now when Elisha had fallen sick with the illness of which he was to die, King Joash of Israel went down to him and wept before him, crying, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. Note that scripture says that Elisha became sick with the sickness of which he would die. That is, he did not die a healthy man. He died of something that was a sickness, some kind of a disease. The reality is that for most of us, we will die of some disease or sickness. It's a result of that sin that comes to us from Adam and Eve, and it manifests in our body sooner or later as sickness and disease. But some children of God die without disease wrecking their body. So, for example, Moses, in contrast to Elisha, is said that when he died, his eye was not dimmed and his vigor was not abated, Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. So some people come to the time of their death and they simply die in their sleep, but that's not the norm. So there are some sicknesses that we can call sicknesses unto death, and there are other sicknesses that are not sicknesses unto death. You know, in ministering to believers with severe illness over the years, I've been led by the Holy Spirit to ask the Father this question. Are you calling this person home? The late John Wimber used to put it this way. Is this a sickness unto death? I don't then go and blurt out the answer to the sick person, but I'm trying to be led by the Spirit, trying to be led by how the Lord wants me to minister to this suffering person. So here's a fundamental key in the healing ministry. Stop, listen to the Lord, obey the Lord. Stop, listen, obey. If the Lord says yes to that question, then the person will probably die of that disease, just as Elisha died of his. I can recall a number of cases when I had a very lively questioning of the Lord after I heard that the person was being called home. It's like, but Lord, what about? And then I'd go off with a list of all the reasons why I didn't think that was the right decision. And I was listing them from my limited perspective. Now was not the time for this person to be going home to glory. The Lord was patient with me. And over time, I learned to adopt a very simple approach. I go and I take my unanswered questions and I put them in a drawer. Imagine it in your mind, and it's got a title on the outside of it. Unanswered questions. That's where I put the questions. And I know that if the Lord wants to answer one or more of those questions, he'll prompt me at the right time to go and open the drawer and give an answer. I trust him. He loves me. He's good. He's always good. But alternatively, rather than the Lord saying to me, I'm calling this person home, this is a sickness unto death, the Lord might say, this is a very serious illness. And Rod, you are to contend from that place of victory that I've already secured. And in that, the Lord's calling me to press on, praying for healing from what appears to be a sickness unto death. Sometimes we'll see breakthrough over those diseases and sicknesses that would otherwise be fatal. Other times, we won't. Complexity. So, how should we approach all the challenges of sickness and disease and healing? Friends, you will have to make a choice. Do you remember what Joshua said to the assembled nation at Shechem in Joshua 24, verse 15? Choose this day whom you will serve. We're faced with a choice when it comes to the ministry of healing. We can either allow all of the complexities and unanswered questions to take center stage, or in faithful obedience, we can respond to Jesus' call, his commission to all of us as his disciples to heal the sick. Giftedness in healing certainly varies, but the call of the Lord Jesus, heal the sick, is to every disciple. It's a call to the church universal and the church local. It is a call to all of us at Oak Tree. Healing is about love, it's about compassion, shalom, and the power of God pushing back the darkness. I'm going to read through a prayer and then invite you, as I read it again, if this reflects your heart, to pray this out loud with me. Let me read it through the first time. Lord God, you are the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You know all things. We don't. Father, we are your children, and we proclaim that you are our good Father, and you always do good by your children. Lord, I want to trust you more deeply. I want to step out in faith to be your instrument for the continual inbreaking of the kingdom. Lord Jesus, you know my unanswered questions. I leave them with you. I refuse to allow the obvious complexities of living in a fallen world, as well as an enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, from hindering my obedient response to your call to heal the sick. Gift me, Holy Spirit. Gift us, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts with compassion, the compassionate heart of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So I invite you, if those words reflect where you're at, to join with me as I pray them through. Lord God, you are the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. You know all things, we don't. Father, we're your children, and we proclaim that you're a good father and you always do good by your children. Lord, I want to trust you more deeply. I want to step out in faith to be your instrument for the continual inbreaking of the kingdom. Lord Jesus, you know my unanswered questions. I leave them with you. I refuse to allow the obvious complexities of living in a fallen world, as well as an enemy who seeks to kill, steal, and destroy, from hindering my obedient response to your call to heal the sick. Gift me, Holy Spirit. Gift us, Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts with compassion, the compassionate heart of Jesus. Amen. So be it.